It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And so it is that we are off and running again on another broadcast week in a better America, the socialist workers' paradise of Joe Biden's America. Yes, I know. It is the 25th day of January, 2021. This is the Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. Yes, it's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Pop on by and you'll be greeted by early arrivers Roger and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who is, of course, a third stage guild navigator and has, in fact, folded space to become Man Cave. He is capably assisted by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. Hi. I'm Robin, and it is Moran Monday, and whoo boy, do we have us some Morans. Mercy sakes alive. You might almost say that we've got Morans as far as the eyes can see. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting ahead of myself, because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our 25th, 24th, and 23rd of the day. Of the month, rather, subscribers. That means, working backwards, thank you very kindly to Kevin in South Africa. Thank you very kindly. And thank you to Mark. And thank you to Peter. And thank you also to Mark, a different Mark. Thank you very kindly to Pamela. And thank you to Josh and Samson. Thanks so much indeed to Reggie and to Philip in Maryland and to our friends at Mellow Moonlit Meadow and to Stacy. Thank you. Thank you all most kindly indeed. And today, thank you in particular to John. And thank you as well to Jeremy. First past the post as the program begins. We were at, let me check here just to make sure that I've got everything squared away. We are at 925 to finish the week. $925 to finish the week, and this, if we can get that knocked out, we can have some fundraising free radio. That would be wonderful. Because of something that our buddy Irish Dave and our buddy Dennis in Columbus did. And thanks again to Brandon and Fennell in Brooklyn, and thank you to Dennis in Columbus for your help this weekend. That actually gets us down to 860. So we're at 860 to finish the week. That's about 2.5 days. And if we can wipe it out by, say, tomorrow, well, everything's fundraising free after that, because of the aforementioned kindnesses. let's see. Let's start with Joey's journal. Robin! Killer journal. This is one of those days where I could have written a book about the previous 2 days and the events of today. I will try to be concise and ask Jeffrey not to interrupt too often. Good luck with that. And, oh, for God's sakes, there he is.
Yes, I am displeased that you would characterize my contributions to Joey's journal as an interruption, considering I'm the star of the show, an up-and-coming star, and you're asking me not to interrupt as well. Wait for it. Asking me not to interrupt would be a tall order.
Man, an uppity giraffe. What are you going to do? Look, Jeffrey, it's Morin Monday. We got a lot of Moranity to get through. On this day, 1947, Al Capone died in jail of pneumonia and heart failure, or maybe gonorrhea. And that triggered Jeffrey. There are so many things that trigger Jeffrey. Jeffrey has his... You ever seen a giraffe in a gangster suit with the thick chalk pinstripes? Yep. And he says, you know, Robin, you have a really nice show, Dad, and I'd hate to see something happen to it, because last Friday you forgot to give Billable Rick for Cowbell for his... A little hard on Freud when discussing male sexual stimulants. Now, Robin, we would not want any of the Morians to enjoy the demise of your show. Well, you know, we wouldn't want to let the maggots experience any, well, you know, yeah, we wouldn't want the maggots to experience any Schadenfreude now, would we? You know, see what Jeffrey did with Freud? Freud knows what Jeffrey did with Freud, and Freud isn't at all happy about it. Jeffrey continues, Al Capone should have had an execution by electrocution, but I guess somebody pulled the plug on the idea. Jesus, what's a hillbilly radio host to do? You know, thank you, Jeffrey. But speaking of shocking, yesterday, the 24th of January, 1989, Ted Bundy was electrocuted by old Sparky for not our Sparky, old Sparky, for his murder spree, and Bundy blamed it on pornography. The late, great Larry King, whom we lost this weekend to COVID, had the best line of all on that one. King, with great derision, stated, Hell, if every guy who looked at porn killed someone, we'd all be dead. How many times was Larry married? Oh, who's counting? Neil Nisi Bonham and all that. I loved Larry King, Joey says, as he was one of the last true liberals to have a radio show on the AM airwaves on the Mutual Broadcasting Network. Beep-doop. Before Clear Channel and Cumulus monopolized the radio market and saddled this country with the likes of Rush Limbaugh. Well, hold on. Let me straighten that up. Long before Rush, back probably when he was still selling hot dogs for the Kansas City Royals, or maybe even back when he was Jeff Christie on Pittsburgh radio, Larry King was already a giant in the industry. Larry King owned midnight to 3 a.m., in the Eastern time zone. And it was 11 to 2 Central where I was experiencing it. And I used to love to listen to Larry on my way home from work. Great conversations. And so, no, I mean, actually, Larry King inspired Flush Flimball. Flush Flimball wanted to own the noon to 3 slot the way that Larry owned midnight to 3. So that, but anyway, Jeffrey couldn't resist the business with Ted Bundy. Also on the 24th of January in 1995, the O.J. Simpson trial began, and O.J. tried to blame his wife's death on Ted Bundy, but Bundy was already dead, and then he tried to blame it on Al Bundy, the retail shoe salesman from Married with Children, but Al Bundy put his foot down because, of course, the shoe did not fit. Oh, Jeffrey. As it turns out, there was a Bundy involved, no, not Cliven, and that was Nicole Simpson's address at 875 Bundy Drive in Brentwood. Okay, back to the 25th of January, as it was on this day in 2005, that serial killer Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, bind, torture, and kill, was what the BTK stood for, sent a cereal box to authorities with the contents of the box having a floppy disk linked to a local church where Rader was a deacon. Says Jeffrey, yes, Rader had been on the Wichita, Kansas radar for over 30 years, as he was known as the BTK killer. Rader got sloppy with the floppy, and the authorities verified his DNA from the crime scenes through his daughter in Michigan. So,
Yeah, there's actually a little backstory on that, too. I remember when the bust went down, I was, I was still on the air in Beckley, in America's fifth smallest radio market. And I remember I did something. I just simply called up Wichita, Kansas, voter registration board and said, tell me how Mr. Rader, what was Mr. Rader's voter registration? And they said, well, it's public record that he was a Republican. So I reported it on air that evening. There were, what? And all the little hopping up and down Republicans that hadn't yet turned into, maggots or even teabaggers by then. Well, they were hopping up, and they were loyal Bushies is what they were. That's not true. That's not fair. You can't say... Well, it was true, and it was fair. So, yes, Jeffrey, that poor woman, I can't imagine having the FBI standing at your door informing you that your father is the notorious BTK. Rader's daughter said in an interview that what freaked her out the most was realizing that had her father been caught for the first murders he committed, which involved killing four members of a family of six, she never would have been... born. Yeah. Oh, speaking of DNA, was there some DNA in the OJ case? But seriously, this animal killed at least 10 people. He should have been fried. Yeah, okay, Jeffrey, I agree. But after Governor Sam Brownback's austerity bullshit, the state of Kansas was so financially strapped that nobody could afford any electricity or any other utility for that matter. Jeffrey, of course, is in stunned disbelief. You mean to tell me they could not have found at least one arc of electricity to fry this monster? What? No, I'm quite confident somebody could have found at least one arc for this bastard's demise, and when they found the arc, the guy would have been waiting for it. Yeah, it would have been the Raider of the Lost Ark. Oh, Jesus Christ. This has been Joey's Journal for More End Monday, the 25th day of January, 2021, with Giraffrey headed for Electric Avenue. And that was Eddie Grant in 1983, who didn't kill anybody. We got to pop down to Electric Avenue, and then I'll take you higher. And so the $25 Electric Avenue challenge is on the table. Thank you very kindly, Joey and Giraffe. Yeah, all right. Little cowbell there. So adding to that, Ralph says, I got 20 if somebody else has 20. So that's 45 on the table. That would double it to 90. And that would get us down to, what did I say? Where were we? That'd get us down to, like, 760, which would be awesome. Thank you, Ralphs, and thank you, Joey and Giraffe. And it is More End Monday. And so, with some recent news out of the Supreme Court today, a More End nomination for six out of those nine wise souls. I had a note from Lee in New York asking, could you help me unpack this? And the unpacking has to do with a CNN story. Supreme Court dismisses emoluments cases against Trump. I saw this earlier, and it was on the Moran list anyway. Oh, God. But the bottom line is that the Supreme Court today refused to hear a case over the emoluments clause. And as a result of the unsigned opinion, pretty sure it was unsigned. Yeah. No comment, no dissent. The court told lower courts to, basically wipe out lower court opinions that Trump was guilty of violating the emoluments clause because he's not president anymore. The emoluments clause was always open, and it was always an open question, simply because it had never really been put to any sort of judicial, much in the way of a judicial test before. Okay? So all of these were going to be cases of first impression. And so the Supreme Court, who don't much like to do their job if they can possibly avoid it, they wiped out two lower court cases, one by lawyers in Maryland and Washington, D.C., over Trump International Hotel, because the favoritism Trump would get meant that other hoteliers and restaurateurs would be irreparably harmed. And then there were in-person complaints by members of the hospitality profession, if you will, people who were hotel and restaurant workers in New York and D.C., and they said that they, too, were put at, they were irreparably harmed by virtue of his reception, his happy acceptance of emoluments. Well, among other things, Deepak Gupta was one of the lawyers who was advocating for the plaintiffs in the case. He said, it's disappointing that Trump got to run out the clock. I'm proud of the work we did to ensure the Constitution's anti-corruption norms weren't forgotten. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington crew gave a statement and said that the lawsuits made the American people aware for 4 years of the pervasive corruption that came from a president maintaining a global business and taking benefits and payments from foreign and domestic governments. Only Trump losing the presidency and leaving office ended these corrupt constitutional violations and stopped these groundbreaking lawsuits. And so that's what we have here. And in by way of a little editorializing, Lee in New York says, because Donald Trump can no longer accept emoluments, no crime, no prosecution, no punishment. This sounds like great news for some criminals. Drive the getaway car in a bank heist, get rid of your car and driver's license. Abuse students at a school, then leave the school. The students are safe now. Murder your spouse? Well, you don't have a spouse anymore. Not likely to happen again now, is it? This is why I'm not a lawyer, Lee in New York says. I don't understand how the Supreme Court comes up with this stuff. And that's why I'm here, and that's why Bilbo Rick's there, and that's why Stephen New York's there. What we're dealing with here is a Supreme Court principle, and one of their organizing philosophies, which is the doctrine of mootness. And what the doctrine of mootness says is that if the Supreme Court cannot issue an opinion on something that is an active case in controversy, you're not going to do it. So Nitwit Nero gets thrown out, and so therefore the case is about him violating the Constitution by receiving emoluments become, if you are a lazy court or if you are several members of a court that owe their fucking jobs to Nitwit Nero, you say, well, I just don't see why we got to handle it. I mean, it's moot, isn't it?
Yeah, it's moot, isn't it?
That would be the Amy COVID Barrett corner of the court. And then from the Brat Kavanaugh seat on the bench, all that was heard was, yeah, what they said. And, you know, so they didn't have the guts to put their names on it or anything. Nope. So, that's what that is. But I think it's more interesting or more telling insofar as what it means going forward relative to the bit of constitutional drama that we're going to have this evening. The House managers of the current impeachment are going to walk their bill of impeachment across to the Senate. They will be admitted to the Senate where something will happen that, well, it's going to look pretty dramatic because Jamie Raskin, the lead impeachment manager, and his team will then proceed to read out loud so the whole world can hear it, the bill of impeachment against Donald J. Trump. And the J stands for jackanapes. Yeah. So, if the emoluments clause lawsuits are, but it's going to be a hell of a lot harder for them to make that argument relative to the impeachment because the impeachment is a strictly political process that is entirely within the province of the Congress, namely the House to impeach and the Senate to try. Although I imagine that, let's see, what's his name? Butch.
I imagine Butch is going to run crying to the Supreme Court saying, but he's already out of office. And if there's any other answer from the Supreme Court of the United States other than shut the fuck up, Butch, well, that's how you know the fix is in. Because this is nothing that the mootness doctrine can really touch, because there is no case and no controversy before the court. But there's the $64 million question, courtesy of Roger in Oregon in the chat room. Was the Supreme Court ruling a setup to give the Senate cover to dismiss the impeachment? Well, the Senate can't dismiss the impeachment out of hand now. Because even if there were a motion to dismiss, and that motion was 50-50, guess who says it goes forward? The Vice President of the United States, serving in her constitutional role as the President of the Senate. And yes, she would get a vote. Even if she's not serving as a juror, if she's sitting there, she gets a vote. Even if the oldest senator is chosen to try the case instead of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who probably doesn't want to be within a country league of this Senate trial. Billable Rick says, dismissal of emoluments cases and Trump removal trial. I suspect that the Supreme Court's dismissal of the emoluments cases on the ground that Trump is no longer president, which makes no sense if his unconstitutional actions monetarily harmed competing hospitality businesses, will give fodder to the GOP senator's claim that the removal trial likewise is unnecessary because Trump is no longer president. Irrefutable logic, right? Well, I don't think it's irrefutable, and pretty sure it's not logic. But I can understand how they might reach that conclusion, because they are desperate to find a way to make this not freaking happen. Yeah. Kyle says, don't think they won't use, since he's out of power, it's a moot point shit, and they might get five to go along with it. Well, that possibility always does exist. Emoluments, says Matt in San Francisco. So in order to get a decision on this issue, we need to wait for a Democrat to do it. Heaven knows that would speed through the courts and be taken up in a hurry by the Supremes. Excuse me while I go up to the mountains and start screaming. I understand. The hills are alive. No singing. Fundraising goal is way too deep. But, yeah, I get it. If a Democrat did it, you could hear the judgments being filed out on planet Norblap 9. So, yeah. And that's just a starting place for what we have to deal with for this here Moran Monday. Yeah, exactly. Senator Leahy will preside over Donnie's impeachment, as Ralphs points out, since he's not president anymore. Yeah. And that's a... there's a whole lot of watch this space in all this. Mootness doctrine, courtesy of Lou. I don't know what definition is specifically applicable in this case, but a general definition is a doctrine in judicial, the mootness doctrine, a doctrine in judicial procedure. A court will not hear or decide a moot case unless it includes an issue that is not considered moot because it involves the public interest or constitutional questions and is likely to be repeated and otherwise evade new review or resolution. Well, as with everything else touching the Supreme Court, any given thing is strictly a matter of what a majority of the Supreme Court says it is. So if they say the mootness doctrine is something that they use anytime they don't want to do something that they would otherwise have to do. The bottom line is mootness is whatever the Supreme Court says it is. And in this case, either five or six members of the Supreme Court said that mootness was what you claim when you don't want to hear rather obvious cases against the former sitting president of the United States. I mean, it's a shitty way to go about things, but, well, it is. Oh, I hate that term, what it is. Yeah. And news over the weekend breaking that Dominion Voting Systems have filed a $1.3 billion, with a B, lawsuit against Rudy Giuliani. And Rudy Giuliani tried to put a brave face on it and said, yeah, well, what that means is I'm going to be able to do some discovery and investigate this here myself, and I'll dig deep and I'll find out what's really going on. Not understanding, of course, that when you're in a hole, the best thing you can do is stop digging. But the best part of the revelation from, or the announcement from Dominion Voting, is that they're not done. They've sued Rudy Giuliani for $1.3 billion. And then Dominion, through its filing, said, just as Giuliani and his allies intended, the big lie went viral on social media as people tweeted, retweeted, and raged that Dominion had stolen their votes. While some lies, little lies, flare up on social media and die with the next news cycle, the big lie was different. The harm to Dominion's business and reputation is unprecedented and irreparable because of how fervently millions of people believe it. And then there was a press call that came after wherein the lawyer for Dominion, a fellow by the name of Tom Clare, said, no, we're not ruling anybody out for who we're going to sue. We're looking at everybody. And added, this is the second lawsuit Dominion has filed to set the record straight. There will be others. And so some curious practitioner of the art of the profession of journalism said, you mean Trump? And lawyer Claire said, we're looking at everybody. But the maggots aren't worried. Why, you might ask, are the maggots not worried? Well, this is why the maggots aren't worried. I have something here that I saw earlier in the day from a social media account. It's all in caps. And remember how we were talking about Melanoma's awful twister mat dress that she wore getting off the plane in Florida? Well, you see, that everything is a secret message from Q. Because the cucumbers, the Q-tips, ye have always with ye. Trump did not go to Florida. I repeat, Trump did not go to Florida. He's been staying in a luxurious underground bunker in the White House with top generals, and they're planning any moment now, whether it be an hour or a few days, to storm the White House with 120,000 troops and publicly arrest Biden. Trump has been keeping the big voter fraud evidence for this very moment, and it will change global politics forever, and the military will ensure he will be inaugurated for four more years. I cannot tell you my sources, just trust me. I could be killed for even sharing this. Just hold tight, patriots. It's only just beginning. Notice in the supposed video of Trump and Melania landing in Florida, she had different clothes on. She changed clothes. Yeah, right. Because, you know, a woman who posed nude in exchange for money from total strangers for their sexual gratification would never change clothes on an airplane. Right? Huh? Right? Right? Yeah?
because that would be crazy.
Yeah.
We'll get around to the point where we can talk about wonderful things happening on the part of the Biden administration. Big news earlier today, the military transgender ban is no more. And that's a good thing. Because it's not like we could use less competent people in the military. Yeah. Oh, and Matt notes, subject line Q. For someone who couldn't run a casino, 45 has come a long way in planning successful coordinated activities. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I know. Oh, and as to mootness, Stephen New York points out, had the remedy for violations of the Emoluments Clause only been removal from office, that would have been moot, it seems to me. But it's not, and the question is whether or not the remedy would have existed basically in tort, you know, in a civil harm. The people complaining lost money and had a right to recover their money from the person who engaged in the tortious conduct. Mm-hmm. Steve pointing out, these Q fuckers would make Harold Camping envious with their zigs and zags around the fakery. Well, naturally, because a hustle is a hustle is a hustle is a hustle. Do the hustle! No disco either. Flavio, melanoma's dress, Q, the best is yet to come! Oh, thanks for the mental image of Kimberly Gargoyle. Now I'm going to have to dip my head in brain bleach after the program. You're a great guy, Flavio. Thanks for that. Thanks for the sour persimmons, brother. But we do learn a little bit more every day. And we're finding out oh so much about who perpetrated the attack on the Capitol. There was an interview over at Religion News Service earlier, and a freelance journalist, an author by the name of Tia Krulos, talked to them about, America's penchant for conspiracy theories, telling them that the past year has just been one giant conspiracy theory about everything. And, in fact, the attack on the Capitol was carried out by an army of conspiracy theorists. And reporter Krulos told Religion News Service, "I think it's so easy to create misinformation that looks like it could be legit. I see people telling people they need to fact-check stuff, and I'm glad, but a lot of times people don't want to fact-check it. They see something that confirms their bias, the bias that they have, and they're like, that sounds right to me, and so it's fact to me." And went on to say, "You can't just paint that mob in D.C. on the 6th of January as fringe nuts because there were elected officials who were part of that crowd." And really delve deep. Really, QAnon, which is the biggest conspiracy problem today, is just the satanic panic all over again. It's very, very much based on this idea that Trump is a man of God and he's engaged in a holy war with the sinister, Satan-worshipping cabal of Democrats and other liberals, the media, Hollywood, stuff like that. They're the satanic ring that are pedophiles and cannibals and secretly causing everything awful happening in our country. Out of the basement of a pizza joint in D.C., doesn't have a basement. Just saying. Yeah. What else are the morons up to? Well, you're going to love this one. This is a beautiful thing. Our pal, I saw this on our pal Kenda in Missouri's page. You know what that Jezebel Kamala Lala Harris done did? She hid
the Bible under a purse when she took in the oath of office so she wouldn't touch the Bible and turn and bust or burst into flames. That's what.
Yeah, that's running around in maggot land right now. When Vice President Kamala Harris was sworn into office on Wednesday, she placed a black clutch purse on top of the Bible so she wouldn't have to touch the holy book. Well, there was no purse. Her hand was on top of a second Bible. You know, there was Bible one, and then there was another Bible on top of it, and, you know, why not? Let's just stack up the Bible, shall we? One of the Bibles she used was owned by a close family friend, and the other Bible had once belonged to the late Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. But no, that doesn't matter to the Q-tips and the cucumbers. No, hell no. Because, you know, I mean, Q done told me it was a purse. It don't matter. It might have been a Bible-shaped purse. All them pedophile cannibals is so clever and tricky-like. Somebody got 35,000 views on a Facebook post saying, she couldn't even bring herself to touch that Bible. Do y'all need it spelled out for you? A believer in Christ couldn't wait to hold that Bible. A Satanist cannot touch it. Notice, he has gloves. She has her clutch bag on top of it. Yeah. Right. And here's the absolute funnest part of all of that. See, this is driven by some filthy-ass racism from some filthy-ass racists because, well, I mean, you know, her mama was from India, and I don't think she was Indiana. Her mama was from India, and her daddy... well, I mean, yeah, not white. So, you know, that probably means she's some kind of pagan or something. Probably worships some animal or something, or some woman with seven or eight or dozen arms. I don't know, but it's pretty clear she ain't no Christian, except for the fact that she is a member in good standing of a Southern Baptist Church. Yeah, no shit. Southern Baptist. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, some relatively sane version of Christianity, like, you know, the Episcopals or the Presbyterians or what. No, she's a Southern Baptist. The same thing I'm recovering from. Maggots. Bumpuses! I know, wrong time of year. We're past that, right? Yeah. As Steve points out, what would ever have made someone be skeptical of the Q shit? Who knew that a Trump-JFK Jr. alliance to root out the deep state and international blood-drinking baby prostitution ring located in the basement of a restaurant that had no basement was bullshit? Who could have dreamt? Never in a million years. And as to impeachment, Steve from Georgistan says, COVID Caligula was impeached while he was president. Additionally, the Senate is now constitutionally mandated to have a trial. Argument over. Yeah. But it's what they do with that trial that makes for the really interesting part of the argument, Steve. It's never over with these fucking Q-tips. Cotton-headed. Never mind. Never mind. Oh, Megan pointing. Yeah, but we did touch on the real horror. Biden wore a Rolodex. Gasp, swoon. Clutch your pearls.
It used to belong to his dead son, but shit don't confuse people with the facts. A Rolodex. I think that gets a cowbell. Yeah, that gets a wore a Rolodex! Oh, it hurts us. It does. But Robin, says Arthur. Both of those Bibles were actually the Satanic Verses by Anthony Crowley, Obama LaVey. You can tell from her smirk during the oath. The oath of office, precisely. Lee in New York, Demon Kamala. Couldn't she have just done like John Quincy Adams and swore her oath on a law book? Oh, no! John Quincy Adams was a demon! Who knew? I'd kind of like to get back to those days when we're not getting all worked up about whose Bible and what. Did you hear? There's a couple people in the Congress what done took their oaths on a Koran. How can they even be a member? They're not really a member of the Congress. You've got to take an oath on the Bible. It's right there. It's in the Constitution! But no, because he's living, because it's Moran Monday, and because Trump is living in a luxurious basement apartment with 120,000 members of the United States military, kind of explains why they were sleeping in parking garages, doesn't it? The Q-tips are now convinced via Vice that sovereign citizens believe, get the hockey puck, oh please. Sovereign citizens believe that a law enacted in 1871 secretly turned the U.S. into a corporation and did away with the... I don't know if I can get through this. Oh, dear. I'm supposed to read this with a straight face. Well, okay, a trans face. No, I can't use the hockey puck. Sovereign citizens, would this be... This really does call for a funny voice, doesn't it? Sovereign citizens believe that a law enacted in 1871 secretly... Yes, of course it's going to be my great big old... Make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice voice. What did you expect? Sovereign citizens believe that a law enacted in 1871 secretly turned the U.S. into a corporation and did away with the American government of the founding fathers. The group also believes that President Franklin D. Roosevelt sold U.S. citizens out in 1933 when he ended the gold standard and replaced it by offering citizens as collateral to a group of shadowy foreign investors. Wait. Offered citizens as collateral? 1933? Is that how the uncle I never got to meet and the cousin I never got to meet never got to come home from Europe? They were just kept in Europe as collateral and the entirety of the European front of the Second World War was just one big false flag, false flag. Oh, for... But what Vice points out that does merit some attention is that the Q-tips are now a LARPing and a smolikin and a grabulating with the sovereign citizens. Yeah. Back to the Vice article. Over the weekend, QAnon groups on Gab and Telegram, where most QAnon supporters have found a home since they were kicked off Twitter and Parler, was deplatformed. Commenters have been sharing documents describing the 1871 Act, claiming it proves that Trump will be sworn in on March the 4th. The source for this date is the fact that 1933 was also the year when inaugurations were changed from March 4th to January 20th to shorten the lame duck period of outgoing presidents. QAnon followers believe that Trump will become the president of the original republic and not the corporation that they believe the 1871 Act created. I knew Now, I can't point to anywhere. No, this never made it onto the program, but I've been wondering how long this would take. Because one of the things that we did talk about on the program previously was the fact that by operation of the 20th Amendment, FDR took office on January the 4th, 1933, January the 20th, 1933, instead of March the 4th, because this country was in such a hot freaking mess that we just couldn't live with Hubert Hoover any longer. But I wondered how long it would take them to note that, and we still got a second chance, because this is sort of like, I mean, okay, there's no actual cognition taking place here. There's nothing that would show up on an EEG or an ECG or any of that stuff that measures brain waves. You couldn't find it with an MRI or a CT scan, nothing. But because we used to inaugurate a president on a different day than we do now, there had to be something nefarious in it. And so here we are. And so here we have the marriage, if you will, of the sovereign citizens. And, of course, the Q-tips, who are madder than a freaking hatter. Let's see if we can bring up the audio. Maybe not. Try it a different way. Yeah, here we go. I think we're going to have it this time. This is some world-class nutty. No getting around it. I hope you didn't already put the hockey puck aside, because no.
A peaceful transition is coming. Trump will not be sworn in as the 45th president of the United States on January 20th. Trump will take office as the 19th president of the United States on March 4th under the restored republic. Let me explain. You believe you live in a nation called United States of America. This nation hasn't existed since 1871, when this country ceased to be a nation and became a corporation belonging to the City of London. Every time you see an American flag with a gold fringe and gold tilt attached to it,
there we go.
It represents the corporation, not the country. This is the reason you can never make progress financially. This is why the law always seems to be against the average citizen. While the rich...
The only thing she's missing is the Jews! Because this is all just repurposed horseshit.
Time you see an American flag with a gold fringe and gold tilt attached to it, it represents the corporation, not the country. This is the reason you can never make progress financially. This is why the law always seems to be against the average citizen, while the rich and the elite literally get away with murder.
And while the fucking Q-tips and the maggots support the elite and the rich who seem to get away with murder. 5 people died in the assault on the Capitol. That wasn't the doing of anybody in the bowels of Comet Ping Pong Pizza. That was maggots. Yeah.
And worse things. If Biden, Harris, Pence, Pelosi, etc. are arrested for their crimes before January 20th, there will be no one to assume the presidency. Since Trump has not been certified as the presidential winner by Congress, he cannot remain president. If there is no president on January 20th, the corporation known as the United States of America will be dissolved.
She, at that point in time, this cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs lady,
grins like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. She's so happy now, we're going to get our country back. By the way, here's the fun part. That 1871 stuff, the reason they're so worked up is that this all has ties to the 14th Amendment. And what did the 14th Amendment do? Why, it guaranteed U.S. citizenship to former slaves. God bless America. If there's the teensiest, tiniest, nasty little micron of racism left to be exploited, the Q-tips and the maggots and the sovereign citizens and the 3%ers and the oath keepers will find it.
The military will then become the guardians of the nation during the transition. People will then have irrefutable proof. That the election was stolen by foreign entities and that Trump was chosen by a landslide. Trump then assumes the presidency as the 19th president of the United States. The last president elected before America became a corporation was Ulysses S. Grant. Republic restored.
Okay, first, this restoration of the Republic language has its roots, as so much does. In ancient Rome. Because after they had plunged their daggers into the body of Gaius Julius Caesar, the murderers, the assassins, put on what were called caps of liberty and ran outside the temporary Senate house at the Temple of Venus at the Theater of Pompey over on the Campus Martius. And began to holler, "Hey, y'all, you're free. We just offed Caesar. You're free. The dictator is dead." And all the people who loved Caesar, which was a majority of the Roman citizenry, because he was part of the populares and not the optimates, you know, the working stiffs, they were like, "You what?" At which point, people like Brutus and Cassius suddenly went, I might want to lose the headgear. What do you say we go up and hole up in your mansion on the Palatine Hill until this shit calms down? Because shit did not calm down that day. Oh, no. No, March the 15th, 44 B.C., got real ugly real quick because it happened in the morning, and by the evening, they were piling up anything that would burn in the Roman Forum and torching it. And at one point in time, somebody swore that they saw the spirit of Caesar flying into the crowd or into the clouds. Yeah. And so after that, as Octavian, who becomes Augustus, takes power and consolidates it. He never takes on the role of emperor. We talked about that the other night. And he talks a lot about the Republic, but by the time Octavian's dead, and the next thing you know, Tiberius is emperor, well, he's emperor, and suddenly we don't want to hear so much talk about that fucking Republic anymore. And curiously, at the time when Nero gets offed, somebody ran to the Senate and said, "Hey, we're free. It's time to restore the Republic." And all the senators said, no, that's fine. We're good. It's okay. And this is a whole bunch of that. And, you know, restoration politics of Mary Old Angelon and all of that crap. But I can't tell you when I started reading this crap about fringe on flags. God, that is so old. The birchers and the baggers and the birthers and the booger eaters have been
pissing and moaning about fringe on flags, and you can't have an eagle, and there's no gold. It's red, white, and blue, damn you. And while they're nutters, they are dangerous nutters. So the 14th Amendment was unanimously ratified in 1870. And that's when, according to the sovereign citizen goobers and whatnot, that's when we became a corporation instead of a country. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about, for anybody curious to look it up, Title 28, Section 3002, paren 15, paren A, paren B, paren C, and the language in there simply says, United States means a federal corporation. Now, the Q-tips don't understand that corporation is a term of art in that phrase, in that quote, and corporation means a body. A body. Steve wanted to know in New York, what exactly is the name of the corporation that owns us? Bilderberg, Inc., Bohemian Grove, Inc., Buckingham Palace, Inc., pulled this out of my ass, Inc. United States means a federal corporation. And if you were to go look and if you don't ask Dr. Google about it, because algorithms are all screwed up, and everything you see is going to be a bunch of sovereign citizen horse shit. This is why it drives me absolutely batty when people who don't know much about no civics start trying to talk about civics. And that's not me holding myself out as any great shakes on the topic, but damn. I don't necessarily know who it is, but somebody kept coming back at me and back at me and back at me when I tried to patiently explain that not all that executive orders are not inherently evil. The theory being, Joe Biden's ruling by executive orders, and that's no good, because, I mean, what about the next president? They'll do the same. Yes, they will. And the president after that, and the president after that, and the president after that, and the president before Biden, and the president before Biden, and the other president. Because executive orders are the means by which the president of the United States fulfills their constitutional oath to faithfully execute the laws. President of the United States is commander in chief of the armed forces, and the president of the United States is the chief executive for executive branch agencies. I don't know how a president is supposed to direct the activities of executive branch agencies without executive orders. Smoke signals, maybe? Secret handshakes? Oh, well, yeah, that'll go great with the sovereign citizen. Yeah, there's a secret handshake. Did you hear that? The liberal said there's a secret handshake. That must mean there's a secret handshake.
Yeah. Megan says, Q-tips are off their meds. They're saying they saw a hologram glitch after Biden walked away from his speech. That's right. I'm a writer, and I can't make this stuff up. I enclose a screenshot for your edification and to have someone verify that I'm not seeing hallucinations. Anyone else see the hologram glitch when Biden walked away after the speech? You know, we're in a lot more trouble than we think we are. A lot more. And I have a feeling there are a handful of people in Washington, D.C. who have a working knowledge of how much trouble we're in. I have a feeling that there are people who are wondering what comes next. Because, well, these fuckers are not going to quit until they are forced to quit once and for all.
if you see any evidence to the contrary, please let me know. Todd in South Carolina, Stan. No, I have not been vaccinated. And vaccinated. He said, that's what black people get. Todd, did you get vaccinated? No, we've got a new thing that you can sign up on in West Virginia now, and they'll tell you when maybe you can go get a shot in your arm. I tried to sign up on it today against my better judgment. Didn't work. Because of course it didn't work. And so here we are at the top of the hour. We have two challenges on the table: 25, the Electric Avenue challenge from Joey and Giraffe, and 20 from Ralph's. That's $45 we're looking for. That Joey and Giraffe and Ralph's will happily double. So your 5 becomes 10, your 10 20, your 20 becomes 40, etc. If we can knock those down and have a decent shot at finishing January to the good. Thank you in advance, please. Yeah. Sovereign Citizens Jeremy in Vermont says, remember these sovereign citizens who, when taken into custody, had tons of guns and improvised explosives galore? Just a wonderful bunch of people. Yeah, Ed and Elaine Brown of New Hampshire. Or what about the sovereign citizens that went on a shooting spree? And basically a, you know, two-person crime wave. Wasn't that Arkansas and around, like, West Memphis, Arkansas, and Memphis, Tennessee, roundabout in there? Wasn't that it? Yeah. Leah, New York, Corporation of London. Well, now I get it. It started with the Beatles. The British invasion. We were taken over. Let it be. This has been a message from Q. Let it be. You know, I shouldn't even joke like that. Honest to God, I shouldn't. Because, you know, some dipshit Q-tip out there is liable to hear that and think, see, they're getting the messages. And exactly. Reverbo pointing out, yeah, the question really is, what are these morons actually planning now? Well, I think we've at least got a hint. They're planning something for March the 4th. Please, God, don't let them. Oh, Jesus, don't let them. Oh, no. I've already fucked up. There I was a few minutes ago talking about the Ides of March. Maybe they won't. No, I gave the date too, didn't I? Damn it! I'm just going to have to be a little more careful going forward. So, Reverbo wonders what they're planning. Flavio thinks he might know. Here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the number of representatives and senators wanting to enter the House and Senate packing heat. Well, yeah. And you know what's even worse, Flavio? They got history on their side. Well, we've been carrying, I mean, good Merkin's been carrying guns into the House and the Senate for as long as we've had a House and Senate. Yeah, and they used them too. And trust me, those decades in which members of the House and Senate were brandishing their freedom protectors, well, ultimately, that wound up in a little dust-up in 1861. Oh, and by the way, all this other 1871 stuff, guess what else hadn't been passed by then? Because remember how the military is going to come in and peacefully restore the Republic? Well, you noticed how she referenced the Grant presidency? at the time that Ulysses Grant became president, the South was still occupied by federal troops who were enforcing Reconstruction. Oh, yes. Yes. And when I say occupied, I mean occupied by federal troops. Not some National Guard. No, these were the Boys in Blue. And they were to be found in every southern city, every southern town, to enforce things like the 14th Amendment. And so when Ulysses Grant set to the business of quashing the Klan, which he did with righteous and brutal efficiency, I mean, for all intents and purposes, that manifestation of the Klan disappeared. It had to be rejuvenated. It had to be resurrected. And Ulysses S. Grant, president, used the United States military on U.S., well, occupied southern soil, Confederate soil. He used the U.S. military to suppress the Klan and insist upon order. And so the 1871 business that these Q-tips and sovereign citizens and various other occupants of the Ripley, living under bell jars in the Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium, that's O-D-D-I-T-O-R-I-U-M, they're believing in something that ceased to exist in 1878, not 1871. Because on June the 18th, 1878, President Rutherford B. Hayes, who became president only because the Congress struck a deal with the slavery sympathizers and the racists, that Rutherford B. Hayes could be the president of the United States as long as Reconstruction was ended, but ended, and all federal troops were withdrawn from southern states. And then the Congress turned right around and passed the Posse Comitatus Act, which meant that never again could active duty, regular U.S. troops be used to enforce the law inside the territorial boundaries of the United States as such. And so the military that they want to do this would have to do so in complete violation of the Posse Comitatus Act, which itself was only enacted to make the South safe for Jim Crow. In many ways, the Posse Comitatus Act was the enabling legislation that marked the capitulation of the United States to a terrorist insurgency that had been waged by seditious Southern politicians against constitutional governance. God, it doesn't really seem like it could possibly be right. But I mention all of this just so that we can have a solid handle on the facts as they exist. And so if you see some cucumber, some Q-tip, blathering on about holograms or hands on purses or even that, you know, no, Trump's coming back. He done said, I'll be back in
some form or another.
I'm rooting for Dung Beetle, but, you know, I'm not in charge of what karma does to one's reincarnation opportunities. And Dung Beetles serve a purpose, so, you know, maybe then. How about a dysentery amoeba? That might, no, he'd enjoy that. Y'all, well, stop it. Earther pointing out, you know, we stayed in Japan for 40 years, but we couldn't stay in the South for that long. There you go. Sure. Eesh. But, you know, that's... Oh, and what's this? Well, sovereign citizens, that explains the increase in the full package sales we've been having lately down to the shop. You see, we drive in real-life Crown of Thorns even if it's not Thursday. My brother's one of these sovereign citizen nut jobs. I'll crown him personally, and I got big enough reeds to drive it home, except these canes are made of aluminum. They don't wear out. Which brings up the war on Valentine's Day. It derives from a Roman tradition inviting young people to each other's orgies. I say bring back the reason for the season, your buddy, Dave and the Blind. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear, I bet I know what this note is. Going in and out, twice so far this evening, Stephen New York said serious burping. Ugh. You haven't heard serious burping yet. Found out today I not only get the nick-ups with these little nicotine pouches, I also get the nerps. And they're loud and disgusting, too. So, sorry. Let me... Stand by for a minute. Nope, don't know where the blurping's coming from. Apparently not on this end. Brother Deacon Asa wants to know, do you call them Q-tips because you think they their heads is full of earwax? Am I being hard on the dinner hour in the Eastern Standard Time Zone? Well, you know, as long as you don't get too close to the earwax, I guess we're good. I mean, I wouldn't want to preserve a big round of Gouda in it or anything. Now, see, that's how you ruin dinner in a time zone, Brother Deacon. Yeah. So, no, I think you were just fine until you led me into something awful. You'll have that. Let's see. That and that. Get things hooked up here. Ah, good. There we are. Let's see. All right, let's run over to the stress line and see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Happy Monday to you, Bob. It's me, Reggie, from Decatur, Georgia.
Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Just fine, Bob, just fine. Well, did you, speaking of the media, Bob, did you hear what that idiot, Piers Morgan, said about Larry King, the late legendary Larry King, who will always be known as Mr. CNN to us, whether we like them or not, or agree with him or not.
See, I'm not, he's not Mr. CNN to me.
No, I mean, you know.
He was radio, CNN, bringing him to CNN was just a bold stroke of genius on the part of Ted Turner. But my God, the man was way famous long before CNN.
Yeah, but, well, he's a legend, period. But, you know, somebody should have told that idiot, Piers Morgan, that you should never disgrace, dishonor, disrespect, or speak ill of the dead. And he did a tweet disrespecting Larry King.
Yeah, what'd he say?
Well, he said he called... He called Piers. Well, I didn't actually read the tweet. I saw it, but you know, he I guess he said he basically attacked his show. Well, he said. I guess he thought Larry King attacked his show, calling it, well, you know, amateur and lowbrow and you know, gutter trash. You know, gutter type show.
Right, because they tried to follow. They tried to follow Larry King with Piers Morgan, and yeah. He flopped like a mackerel out of water.
Yeah, his show was one and fucking ass done, was it not?
It was not great TV.
No, it wasn't. You know, one trick pony and all that. You could, you could never, you know, top him, you know, because Larry King's been on that network for years and years, right? What, from the 90s or the 80s, you know, all the way on till, you know. He's been on there for a long, long time. You know? And speaking of idiots, here's another one, you know, Megyn Kelly, who partly blamed the media for what happened 2 weeks ago. You know, the storming of the Capitol building.
Yeah, yeah. I knew what you meant.
Yeah, she said that the mainstream media, quote unquote, checked this objectivity at the front door and has been hating on Trump for over 4 years, and that they're not going to unite under Joe Biden.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how we're supposed to have unity with people who think that, you know, the United States is a corporation that's owned by the British royal family or something.
Right. And she did it. She did an interview with BBC and told them that. Yeah. She was over there at the BBC when she said that. This past weekend.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't spend a lot of time with the for-profit media, Reggie, because generally I'm pretty well out in front of them anyway, so it's just like watching reruns for me.
Right. But there's nobody out there who can replace Larry King. Nobody. Like you say, they tried and failed miserably.
Well, I mean, he was just a radio pro, and you know, I got nothing bad to say about Larry King.
Me neither.
I got I've mentioned a few times. I got to do his voiceover intro when I was at CNN, and it was fun, and I, you know, felt like somebody.
Right. Whether you liked his interviewing style or not, you have to respect him, man. At least he got you to answer questions. And to him, the most important question is why, right? Isn't that what he will always say? The most important question in each and every single interview is why.
Yeah.
Wasn't that his, you know?
That was part of his shtick. Yeah.
Yeah. And Randy Rose was on his show 2 times. You know, Larry King live on CNN. She was on his show 2 times.
Yeah, I think she. Yeah, I think you're right. I remember her being on at least once.
Yeah, he was on there twice actually. But hey, like you said, he did voiceovers for his show once. His radio show
once? No. For the TV show.
For the TV, you did voiceovers for his TV show.
Yes.
So it's like you guys were old friends, you know?
No, it's not like we were old friends. He never knew me. I didn't know him. It takes a lot to pull something like that together, and I was just the VO guy.
Right, but you respected the man.
Sure.
You respected him. You know, he came all the way from radio to television. You know, he worked at it. He just didn't jump into it. He was experienced, right?
He was a pro.
Yeah, he was a pro, like you said. He didn't just jump into it. He didn't just do this to make a few lousy bucks.
Hold on. Whoa. No. He was all about the lousy bucks.
Right.
Okay, because Ted Turner made certain that they paid him a lot of those lousy bucks.
Right. Yeah, for what he did. I mean, who wants to work free for nothing, right? You know? But like I said, nobody can replace them. They tried and they failed miserably. So, journalism, as you were saying, has finally been flushed down the drain. Flushed. You know, he was one of the last of the real deal journalists. Was he not, Bob?
No, he was not.
Well,
I never saw Larry King as a journalist.
Oh, you never. Oh, that's right.
Some of what he did was journalism, but a lot of it was just, celebrity gossip.
Right, like an entertainer or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like an entertainer, right? But he was brutally honest. You can't deny him that, right? he was brutally honest.
Yeah, I mean,
he would never lie to you.
I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, I'm just not particularly clear on why we're necessarily talking about Larry King. I mean, I noted that the guy that he passed on, he had a rich, full life, and appears to have drunk life to the lees and to have wrung every possible second out of it. I'm good with that. I mean, I understand that. And then it's, you know, because there's a lot of other stuff out there today, Reggie.
That's true.
I mean, there's all kinds of crazy and morons. I mean, Jesus God, I'm looking at a number today. According to Johns Hopkins, today we passed 25 million COVID-19 cases in the U.S. And hey, bonus. The first case of the Brazilian strain has now been identified in the United States.
Oh, great. And what can we do about all that, Bob? How can we combat it?
Well, you wear your mask, you wash your hands, you don't touch your face, you wear gloves if you can, you carry hand sanitizer everywhere you go, you keep your social distance at 15 feet or more between people wearing masks, and try never to be in the vicinity of someone not wearing a mask. And you bust your ass to try to make sure that you get the vaccine in your arms and in the arms of the people you love. That's how you combat it.
Right. Yeah.
If everybody in this country would put on a mask and adhere to social distancing, we'd be on the way to having this damn thing beat before summer, mid spring maybe.
Yeah, I just hope it doesn't mutate anymore.
Oh no, Reggie, come on. It's going to mutate. It probably happens every day. It probably happens with some of the particles inside people, you know, who have it. It's what they do. Mutation is the heart and soul of virusness.
Yeah.
Because if it just sits there, it's not going to be evolutionarily successful. And if it mutates to kill more people, it's going to be less evolutionarily successful.
Right. But I just feel as we're never going to get over it. That's how I feel. It's like we're never going to get over it.
No, we're going to get over it. We're going to get past it. But the people of the United States, Reggie, are going to have to, you know, by an overwhelming majority, want to get over it.
Yeah. Well, most of us do. It's those, shall we say, maggots that don't want to follow the rule, you know. Most of us want to get it over and done with, to destroy it, make it extinct. But it's those maggots that don't want to do anything about it. They're trying to protect their freedom, as it were. Ain't that funny, Bob?
Yeah, hilarious.
Ain't that funny? And they've been fed, you know, fake news, and not just from television, but from white wing radio and sections of the internet, and God knows where else they're getting it from. you know what I'm saying, Bob? You know, even if they're probably getting it from newspapers, if people still read those, you know.
Yeah.
They're not listening to Dr. Fauci, or even Joe Biden himself. You know, listen to the scientists, listen to the scientists.
I know. Reggie, I'm gonna roll. I know there are other people trying to get into the program. It's good to hear from you, my friend. You take care, all right?
Yeah, you do too, Bob, and please stay warm and safe. Okay.
I got my propane going in here, and it's just kind of shitty and sloppy outside, but it's not too brutal. We're generally okay around here as long as the low temperature doesn't go down toward like the, low 20s, upper teens. That's when it gets difficult. Low tonight's 39 degrees. We'll be great. We'll be fine.
Right, because I know you watch the weather reports just like everybody else to see how it's going.
Oh, I'm an absolute weather bug.
Yeah, I know. You know, I watch it too.
Hey, I hope. I hope you and your family are okay, Reggie. Y'all just keep taking good care of each other.
Well, we'll do, Bobby. You take care of yours, man. You keep taking care of yours.
All right. Thanks a bunch, Reggie. Be good now. Later.
Don't let life get you down.
Oh, no, hell no. I love life, and I've never loved it more. You take care now.
Right.
Bye.
Yeah, you do too, Bob. Bye.
Our buddy Reggie calling from Decatur. Lovely little part of the greater Atlanta area. So anyway, this is Conversation Radio, and if you want to participate, you know, Bob Kincaid Horn gets you through. So does 304-574-8178. That comes through on the same line as Skype does. And then, of course, there's the Stress Line, named in memory of Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. I got a buddy on Twitter who periodically posts rare audio of Mr. Stress. And I saw one over the weekend and just started it playing in the car. And it was like, yeah. Oh, that was, yeah, Mr. Stress. Anyway, the Stress Line number is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And you're welcome to jump in on it. I had a note from Darlene in Connecticut. So, 3 million plus of the 63 million were fraudsters when we voted for Hillary back in what seems like 1,000 years ago. So now, all 81,056,268 are fraudsters, having voted for Joe Biden in 2020. Jeez, I'm beginning to develop a complex here. I didn't realize what a fraudster I was. Has the FBI opened a file on me yet? The wingnuts told me I had to get over it back in 2016. Now they can't get over it, and they continue to abuse me, even though I passed the National Quadrennial IQ test last November? No, I'm still a fraudster. My vote still doesn't matter, along with 81,056,267 others. What matters is the 74,115,722 that voted for Trump. Their votes really matter. They actually won. Trump is the real president. Do the math. Well, 81,056,268 for Biden and 74,115,722 for Trump. Oh, and 306 electoral votes for Biden versus 232 for Trump, vetted and revetted and confirmed over and over and over and over again by countless states and countless courts. But no, Trump still won. Star Trek reference. Was it in The Wrath of Khan when Uhura said, well, this is not reality? No, it isn't. It isn't. And with an interesting back reference to the sovereign citizens, a couple of those, you know, and I'm not the only one that remembers how awful and shitty they are. Billable Rick said, that lady you played had a Canadian accent. Irrefutable proof. The gold fringers, because they get all worked up again about the flag. That's not a real American flag. The gold fringers are no different than the sovereign citizens and similar tax protesters whom I encountered as an assistant U.S. attorney. Those people are subject to the laws of the United States, including its tax laws. Those people also were subject to tax judgments against them and to be thrown in jail for refusing to comply with IRS summonses. And it happened. And it happened rather a bit. And then Arnold pointed out, oh, you're talking about sovereign citizens. I joined late, the late quackery. They think that we have millions of dollars associated with each of our names and that we have to spell our names in all caps. Bunch of craziness. I wish some of it was true, actually. Well, yeah, I mean, if there's billions of dollars out there and all I got to do is block print my name, hell, get me a crayon. Ay-yay-yay. And it goes on like this because Moran Monday pretty much this way the rest of the evening because we are Moran poor I mean, for God's sakes. Let's see. How about this? This is a fun one. Young Josh Hawley, back when he was a 15-year-old kid, he wrote a column in defense of militias in the wake of the Oklahoma City bombing by Timothy McVeigh. And it was published. This according to the Kansas City Star, who has recently called for his resignation. Following the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building, Josh Hawley, at 15, wrote a column for his hometown paper, the Lexington News, in which he warned against calling anti-government militia members domestic terrorists. Yeah. Writing about these homicidal maniacs, Hawley said, many of the people populating these movements, you know, back then, you know, 15, maybe it was, many of the people populating these movements are not radical right-wing pro-assault weapons freaks as they were originally stereotyped, dismissed by the media and treated with disdain by their elected leaders. These citizens come together and form groups that often draw more media fire as anti-government hate gatherings. Feeling alienated from their government and the rest of society, they often become disenchanted and slip into talks of conspiracy theories about how the federal government is out to get them. In this politically correct society, derogatory labels such as racist are widely misused, and our ability to have open debate is eroding.
Jackass. And he's been toxic all the whole time. How about that? Who could have possibly imagined, right?
Oh, my brains. My aching brains. But yeah, what I was telling Reggie about, we passed 25 million cases of COVID today. Actually, yesterday. That was Johns Hopkins. Yesterday. And here's the thing. It only took us 5 days after we recorded our 400,000th death from the virus. Meanwhile, I was talking with Chris in Germany earlier today, and she told me that the Dutch have been rioting over the fact that the Netherlands government may impose a further lockdown. I tell you what, majority white people nations just have a hard time getting shit right, don't we? And by the way, Joe Biden's nominee for Surgeon General, interviewed on ABC News Sunday, said the idea of 100 million doses in 100 days was a floor, not a ceiling. But then added, as to the new strains coming along, the variants are very concerning. It's up to us to adapt and stay ahead. Wow, trying to adapt faster than a virus can. It's a hell of a job we've set up for ourselves. Really? The Brazilian strain of COVID-19. Lee in New York says, thank God Trump banned travel from China. And meanwhile, speaking of warm weather, Robert in Australia with a little help. Some warm weather here in Sydney. 10:30 a.m. It's 91 degrees Fahrenheit. We should reach 100 around 1 p.m. I think I'll go and sit under the shower with the cold tap on full, now that the bathroom isn't flooded and the carpets are all dry. Yeah. Oh, and a flat earth video. Oh, I know. Oh, Robert, they're so everywhere. They're just everywhere. Bilbo Rick pointing out, I heard Larry King was a compulsive gambler whose habit caused him to file at least one bankruptcy. According to Randy Rhodes, he would often walk around the CNN studios asking if he could borrow $50 for his gambling habit. Ever hit you up for 50? No, they weren't paying me that kind of money. No, he never, no. No, he worked out of, see, he worked out of Washington, I think. And I was in the studios in Atlanta. And, oh, by the way, a big thank you to our dear sister Jude out in the great Northwest. I went to the mailbox and pulled out a delightful little box of See's candies. There were three delicious chocolates covered in sprinkles and three wonderful sugar-free butterscotch lollipops, which will help me maybe now begin to wean away from the nicotine pouches. Thank you, Jude. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much indeed. And the new coffee maker's all prepped and ready to go. And if Amazon hadn't screwed up the delivery, I would have had a wonderful new, bigger cup of coffee by now. But, well, it'll be here, I guess, tomorrow. And that's okay. And thanks to Chris for that. Thank you so much. Yeah, the U.S. Postal Service got it right on the money, Jude. And in fact, they were the chocolates weren't melty or anything. They were perfect. Wonderful. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Arthur says, stop trying to quell free and open debate on how people of color are inferior and how kill, kill, kill should be our national motto. I know, you gotta teach the controversy, right? Yeah. Oh, and let's see here. Yeah, again, we've got $45 worth of challenges to knock out $90 worth of a really deep hole. And if we can get this done by tomorrow, we'll have some fundraising free radio. Maybe it doesn't matter as much to you as it does to me, but I just love not having to talk about it. I just do. Let's run over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Barbara.
What?
Barbara. How are you, Barbara?
Barbara?
Yeah.
Barbara.
That is not funny, is it?
Oh, no, it's hilarious. It is. No, it's hilarious.
No, I'm confused. I'm confused.
You?
you should be settling in. It should be like, finally, I'm at peace.
It is, but as long as you have to keep reading the news every day, you're pretty much not going to be okay. Because, like Friday and then earlier in the week, there was, let's see, we had North Dakota, and then Friday we had Indiana. And now we've got our first Let's Hate the Trans People bill filed in the Congress of the United States. Yeah.
Isn't it something? Isn't
yeah.
It something?
And courtesy of neo-maxi Zoom dweeby by the name of Representative Greg Stube, Steube. He's a maggot from Florida.
Stube.
Yeah. Stube dooby doo. He introduced H.R. 426, and that was on Thursday. And H.R. 426 would let officials examine the genitals of little girls to make sure that they were little girls for purposes of participating in sports.
No way. No.
Yeah, yeah. A person whose sex is made, federal funds would be withheld from a state and local athletics organizations if they allow, quote, a person whose sex is male to participate in an athletic program or activity that is designated for women or girls. And so, theoretically, how you determine that, and he's all proud, Stube is, because he has the support of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Oh, that's rich.
Yeah, I chuckled merrily for quite some time. I can only imagine that the U.S. Conference of the Catholic Bishops is going, wait a minute, Why are they wanting to look at the genitals of the little girls?
What about us? Oh, that's what you mean, I suppose.
Yeah, wait, I mean, we could help. We could examine the genitals of little boys. I mean, we're the Catholic bishops.
Yeah, okay, you're really kind of joking about the physical examination, all right?
No, there's nothing in the bill that says how you're supposed to determine, got to have a look. These are some sick fuckers, Todd.
They're telling on themselves how strange their thought process is that they're willing to do to codify something that crazy.
Yeah.
You know, because,
mean, nasty, hateful. I mean, you pick one.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm not going to get excited. I'm happy. I'm calling to be happy. I'm calling because I'm happy.
Yay! Right.
Yeah, no, seriously. I don't know if you heard or saw any of the press conference today with the president.
Actually, I did not.
Well, you'll hear about it. It was so refreshing. I can't be the only one. It felt great. I think that the president has settled in. Yeah, he's released himself of the stress of running for the office. It seems like he was fielding questions. And it was something to behold. It just, I mean, because we're in a crisis. And he admitted, he's like, look, we're going to fight like hell. I understand that. But this is the plan. And it was like, damn. It just made, I can't be the only one. Like all this wasted time. This wasted time. You know, we're playing with people's lives and we've wasted all this time, But hey, this is America, right? What can you do? You're supposed to compromise. You have to listen to other people, I suppose. Anyway, when you hear the press conference, you'll
you're just bowled over by the competency of it all.
Yeah, well, it's been years since we've seen anything normal. Years, and then and when we see McConnell, look at McConnell. He doesn't even. He refuses to concede. We have to understand. I'm thinking this. Let me ask your opinion about this. And I'm not begging the question here. I'm trying not to.
I understand.
But, okay. It seems like maybe more Americans are waking up to the nefariousness of Mitch McConnell, how kind of power corrupt he is.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's progress. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing because, he's been flexing his power. But, I was thinking about what you said, too, about how he grew up, a polio survivor, and his name is Addison. So, he's probably drunk on power. He was, just kind of thinking out loud here, but. We don't know what people. I haven't been following them that closely, like I was with the previous president, to say what I said about him. But yeah, that would make sense, because he's got the gimpy arm, and kids are mean. The kids are mean. So.
Well, but the other part of that story, Todd, as he said, as I've heard McConnell say, yeah, and it just about broke my family taking care of me. Guess why it didn't break his family?
Social Security.
No.
No, okay.
The charity of well-meaning liberals.
Go figure.
Yeah.
In what way did they deliver care and comfort to him?
Well, they made it possible for him to go to Warm Springs, Georgia, where he received expert therapy from the very same people who treated other polio victims after FDR made Warm Springs a hub for polio therapy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you would think he would understand suffering, but he went the other way with it.
Right. You don't understand suffering very much if, as a sitting senator of the United States, you pose and accept your commemorative plaque, shaking hands with some the sons of the old Confederacy bullshit in front of a Confederate flag. No, you don't understand much about people suffering if you do that.
Oh, speaking of that flag, you know, as more and more, I'm just coming out of the shock still from seeing the Capitol defaced, but I'm not as bad off as I was before. I'm on my way out. I'm out of the fog. But, you know, to plant that Confederate flag in the Capitol, when you understand how some of these people think, that was an act of war, or that was an act of victory to them. See, that was very symbolic. You follow
last
me?
I checked, that was an act of treason, but, you know, let's not fight.
Well, I definitely mean that. The whole thing was an act of treason. And since you brought it up, I'm still having difficulty, and I think that all of us need to press our friends and neighbors to utter the words, cop killers, like in a violent sense.
Those are cop killers. Right, I get you.
They're cop killers. Traitors, cops, you know, so they don't love this country. I mean, shooting someone, honestly, is not that hard. It's easy. Squeeze the trigger, is done. But beat someone in the head with a fire extinguisher, that takes rage. You know, if you break somebody's neck and strangle them and then, you know, do other things to them, that's different than shooting someone.
No, right. Murder. After, no, when you're bludgeoning somebody to death with a fire extinguisher, Todd, there are ample opportunities to stop bludgeoning somebody to death with a fire extinguisher. Just say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're on the ground and you keep beating on their little old pumpkin head like an overripe melon, at that point in time, you're in first-degree murder land.
Right.
That's not heat of passion. At least after the first blow, that's pure premeditation.
Right.
Or so it seems to me.
And for my taste, I'm not hearing enough of my fellow Americans denounce this activity.
Yeah, but really see, you are about language the same way I am. I hate wishy-washy language, and I understand the power of messaging. You're absolutely right. We need to refer to these various miscreants as cop killers, and not just the person who swung the fire extinguisher.
No,
everybody who had a hand in making it possible to do that.
They were acting in concert, the whole thing, including.
And that's why I refuse to back away from the idea of felony murder.
Well, that's what they do to everybody else, isn't it? All you have to do is be in the area, be in the car, and they went in the store and they did something. You didn't know they were going to do it, but guess what? You're going to prison. That's what you mean, I suppose.
Yeah, precisely. And by the way, you got a note from Darlene in Connecticut who said, yep. I watched the presser, and Biden is optimistic we could have enough people inoculated to reach herd immunity by the spring. I thought that was a major headliner right there. Is that what you heard too, Todd? Biden did say it'll take many months to conquer COVID because of the mutations, but I was surprised at his prediction. I am too. That and it makes a little more sense now that when I read the line that Vivek Murthy had said, you know, this is a floor. 100 million doses in 100 days is a floor, not a ceiling.
Well, I look at it like this. I've been trying to read between the lines of what I see, knowing Joe Biden, or what I've seen of him over my years. He knows how the government works. He's going to mobilize the National Guard to get these vaccines out. And remember, they have refrigerated. They can get that done. That's what they do, is logistics. Yeah, they know how to move machinery around. They can get these refrigerated trucks out. Now, the Moderna stuff doesn't require that, I suppose.
It requires less, but it still requires.
Okay.
The Pfizer is the most intense, but supposedly what's coming later, maybe the Oxford vaccine, which they've already cleared in Mariolde, England, is a lot more shelf-stable, if I've read correctly. So there's that. Well, and hey, check this out. This is actually, you said you were feeling good. This is kind of hopeful. I hated it when we got the news a couple of weeks ago. I think it was our buddy Glenn in San Diego who shared it and said that the sad news had been disclosed that one of the gorillas at the world-famous zoo, I hate that word, the San Diego Zoo Safari Park's troop of gorillas, Winston, aged 48, was confirmed positive for the virus on January 11th. And now, at 48, you are an elderly gorilla, and Winston has been given what are described as cutting-edge synthetic antibodies. And Winston is now recovering from COVID.
Oh, that's a plus plus.
And what San Diego Zoo Global, they operate the facility. They said the troop was infected with a new highly contagious strain of the coronavirus recently identified in California. And so they've medicated them. They've observed them very closely. And lo and behold, he appears to be on the mend thanks to monoclonal antibodies. And he had heart disease, has heart disease and pneumonia, and he was given heart medications, antibiotics, and the monoclonal antibody therapy, and appears to be on the mend.
That's great news.
It is. And, you know, I'm not an advocate for animal testing, but it worked out this way, so maybe there's something to be learned.
That's why I said it's a plus plus.
You'll note that even though a politician in Mississippi is pitching it, they did not give this great ape any hydroxychloroquine.
You had to stick the knife in, didn't you?
Yeah, nor did they try to put any infraviolet light anywhere. Because you know I wouldn't want to do that to a sick gorilla, let alone a healthy one.
Well, that's funny. That's hilarious. Well, we're all happy, I guess, that, you know, things, I don't know. I'm feeling a lot better. It's, you know, I think that this is going to work out. I think this is going to work out. Because if you noticed, the seal behind Biden today at his press conference was basically made in America. Like, that's the goal now, you know. Even though Trump was talking shit, which I could never understand why his followers didn't. You tell him 1,000 times, 1,000,000,000 times. Well, ask him, well, why is he still having his things made in China? And why are his kids getting trademark permits? If you understand, not you, but if they understand what that means. I mean, that's a long-term obligation. So, you know, that doesn't add up. But I'm through trying to reason with these people because it doesn't matter what you say to them anymore. And honestly, I think that Trump, if he were smart, if he had some good advice, he would start a church since he already has a cult following. And then he could get all his money tax-free and all his people can go and give him money and they can buy his shit and they can kind of stay the hell away from us. You know, I think that's the best option for him.
But oh, I got to share something with you, though. This is going to, I don't know where this came from. I so don't. And it could be made up by somebody. The fact checking department can get on it.
You scare me.
It's grayscale. It shows the great seal of the United States, you know, the stars above the eagle's head, the eagle, its wings outstretched, the shield on its breast, and its claws clutching both arrows and an olive branch. I'd like for this to be some sort of smartassery. I don't know. but it came from no reply at m.45office.com. M, the letter M as in micro. The office of Donald J. Trump, and using the seal. Statement from the office of the former president, Palm Beach County, Florida. Today, the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, formally opened the office of the former president. The office will be responsible for, managing President Trump's correspondence, public statements, appearances, and official activities to advance the interests of the United States and to carry on the agenda of the Trump administration through advocacy, organizing, and public activism. President Trump will always and forever be a champion for the Merkin people.
No, all right. Wait a minute.
I don't know if it's real. This could just be assholery.
But it's so finely tuned, though, to even the end. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
I do.
Spoof, but it's right in the middle. It's like it's so close. I cannot tell. It's so onion-esque, but they would do something like that. That's exactly what his folks would do. You know, how dare Biden
But you and I live, we all, the Horn Family Community Congregation and all of America lives in a place of shadowy verification of facts. And the efforts are every day to make them worse. It's like last week I got busted because I played clip of some military band playing Hit the Road Jack in, as they marched past the White House in rehearsal. And at the time, I remember saying, golly, I want this to be true. I don't know if it is, but I want it to be. Because that, you know, that shows how confirmation bias works.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't true. It was a clever piece of editing. It wasn't true, but it sure was fun to think about for a minute. And that's the difference between this versus theirs. You know, there's nothing fun to think of it. Joe Biden hologram, you know, just like Obi-Wan being projected by R2-D2 so that Princess Leia could see him?
Yeah, okay. So I was listening intently when you were getting into this Q stuff.
No, it's real. It's real, Todd. It's real.
You're reading my mind. Because, honestly, like, you know, and I get around. I monitor things. And I listen to Jeff Rentz. And, I mean, I monitor things. But this Q's...
Nope. Office of the former president is real. The Hill, no. And thank you to Steve in New York for sharing this along. The Hill reporting, former President Donald Trump on Monday established an official post-presidency office in Palm Beach County, Florida, setting up a vehicle for future public appearances and statements. The office of the former president will manage Trump's correspondence, public statements, appearances, and official activities, according to a press release from the office. Aw, poor thing. He's just trying to get his fucking Twitter account back. And meanwhile, Wow. Meanwhile, this will only make the cucumbers, the Q-tips, even crazier.
See, he is coming back. He's coming back on March the 4th.
But that new office is in Florida, but he's not.
Right. That's just his launching pad. He's staying poised. I didn't put it past him. I did not put it past him.
Well, the story says he is surrounded by a handful of loyal aides. I wonder if he took Stephen Miller with him. I wonder if that's what that means.
Well, he's loyal. I don't know how much of an aide he is, but he's loyal. I mean, he's got his agenda. Yeah, well, look, these people will do anything, but they're not going away. and they don't feel bad about what happened. This, I'm not seeing the contriteness that I'm not feeling. I'm not seeing it. I'm really not. And I'm talking about the Capitol incident. I'm just not seeing it.
Well, what the Hill speculates is the purpose of this is to set up a vehicle by which he can encourage primary challenges to people like Liz Cheney out in Wyoming, because she was insufficiently ideologically pure as a maggot, as well as the other nine members, Republican members of the House, who voted against him, like Representative Katko of New York.
So he can leverage this bogus, made-up office to bolster people he wants to and detract away from...
Right, and of course, it's also a grift.
Well, that was the other part, right.
Because everything's a grift.
And that's a sad commentary, what happened with the Supreme Court, you know. I mean, they just walked all over the emoluments, and we did not need that. You know, we didn't need to get that anti-boost from the Supreme Court. So now every time we say that, they're just like, oh, no, it didn't happen. Well, you know, I can't tell you how many people I know who are like, why do you want to go through with this impeachment trial? Why don't you just let him go away? He's gone already. And inside,
because you do not. Well, the short answer to that is, I mean, at least I hope it is, and maybe you've got a better one. The short answer to that is because you don't wink at fucking treason.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, hang on a minute. Hang on. Right. The moment is upon us. The House impeachment managers are walking the bill of impeachment across to the Senate, even as we speak.
Do it.
Walking through the rotunda now, where on January 6th, un-American domestic terrorists trashed the place. I'm sorry, those motor drives kind of give me the creeps. I know it's just noise, but it's really weird. I mean, they're big, tall, broad halls, and they're echoey as hell. They're just walking. They're not running. They're not singing or anything. And they have to stop outside the door of the Senate because they can't come in without being invited. Rules, you know. I mean, actual members of the House can't go in without being invited, but, well, you know, if you're a domestic terrorist maggot, you don't wait for no damned invitation. That's the third knock. Do they have to say Beetlejuice or something?
Jamie Raskin's there. Are they going to let me in or what?
Yeah, answer the door, y'all. It's not. It's not Amway. It's not the Jehovah's Witnesses. Really, I promise. You hear that? They're still knocking.
I'm watching. How long are they going to make him stand out there?
Majority Leader.
I ask unanimous consent that the quorum call be vitiated.
Without objection.
And that's Patrick Leahy. He's sitting in the seat of the President of the Senate.
The hour of 7 p.m. having arrived, the Acting Sergeant Arms will present the managers on the part of the House of Representatives.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
There's some serious solemnity going on here.
Mr. President and members of the Senate, I announce the presence of the managers on the part of the House of Representatives to conduct proceedings on behalf of the House concerning the impeachment of Donald John Trump, former President of the United States.
That is Jennifer Hemingway, Acting Sergeant at Arms.
The House will be received and escorted to the well of the Senate.
Being brought to the well, or they're lining up before the President of the Senate. And congratulations to Ms. Hemingway. Let's take a moment for some history.
Sergeant Arms will make the proclamation.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons are commanded to keep silent on pain of imprisonment while the House of Representatives is exhibiting to the Senate of the United States an article of impeachment against Donald John Trump, former President of the United States.
You got chills, Todd?
The managers on the
problem. I am. We're all sharing history.
Cynthia just said, it's not a magazine salesman either. Let him in.
Mr. President, the managers on the part of the House of Representatives are here and present and ready to present the article of impeachment, which has been preferred by the House of Representatives against Donald John Trump, former President of the United States. The House adopted the following resolution, which, with the permission of the Senate, I will read. House Resolution 40 in the House of Representatives, United States, January 13th, 2021, resolved that Mr. Raskin, Ms. DeGette, Mr. Cicilline, Mr. Castro of Texas, Mr. Swalwell, Mr. Liu, Ms. Plaskett, Mr. Neguse, and Ms. Dean are appointed managers to conduct the impeachment trial against Donald John Trump, President of the United States, that a message be sent to the Senate to inform the Senate of the appointments, and that the manager so appointed may, in connection with the preparation and the conduct of the trial, exhibit the article of impeachment to the Senate and take all other actions necessary, which may include the following: employing legal, clerical, and other necessary assistance, and incurring such other expenses as may be necessary to be paid from amounts available to the Committee on the Judiciary under applicable expense resolutions or from the applicable accounts of the House of Representatives. Two, sending for persons and papers and filing with the Secretary of the Senate on the part of the House of Representatives any pleadings in conjunction with or subsequent to the exhibition of the articles of impeachment that the managers consider necessary. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House of Representatives. With the permission of the Senate, I will now read the article of impeachment. House Resolution 24 in the House of Representatives, United States, January 13th, 2021, resolved that Donald John Trump, President of the United States, is impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, and that the following article of impeachment be exhibited to the United States Senate. Article of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives of the United States of America in the name of itself and of the people of the United States of America against Donald John Trump, President of the United States of America, in maintenance and support of its impeachment against him for high crimes and misdemeanors. Article 1, incitement of insurrection. The Constitution provides that the House of Representatives shall have the sole power of impeachment, and the President shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Further, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution prohibits any person who has, quote, engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the United States from holding any office under the United States, unquote. In his conduct while President of the United States and in violation of his constitutional oath faithfully to execute the office of the President of the United States and to the best of his ability preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and in violation of his constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, Donald John Trump engaged in high crimes and misdemeanors by inciting violence against the government of the United States. In that, on January 6, 2021, pursuant to the 12th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, the House of Representatives, and the Senate met at the United States Capitol for a joint session of Congress to count the votes of the Electoral College. In the months preceding the joint session, President Trump repeatedly issued false statements asserting that the presidential election results were the product of widespread fraud and should not be accepted by the American people or certified by state or federal officials. Shortly before the joint session commenced, President Trump addressed a crowd at the Ellipse in Washington, D.C. There, he reiterated false claims that we won this election and we won it by a landslide. He also willfully made statements that in context encouraged and foreseeably resulted in lawless action at the Capitol, such as, if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. Thus incited by President Trump, members of the crowd he had addressed in an attempt to, among other objectives, interfere with the joint session's solemn constitutional duty to certify the results of the 2020 presidential election, unlawfully breached and vandalized the Capitol, injured and killed law enforcement personnel, menaced members of Congress, the Vice President, and congressional personnel, and engaged in other violent, deadly, destructive, and seditious acts. President Trump's conduct on January 6, 2021, followed his prior efforts to subvert and obstruct the certification of the results of the 2020 presidential election. Those prior efforts included a phone call on January 2, 2021, during which President Trump urged the Secretary of State of Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, to, quote, find enough votes to overturn the Georgia presidential election results and threatened Secretary Raffensperger if he failed to do so. In all this, President Trump gravely endangered the security of the United States and its institutions of government. He threatened the integrity of the democratic system, interfered with the peaceful transition of power, and imperiled a co-equal branch of government. He thereby betrayed his trust as president to the manifest injury of the people of the United States. Wherefore, Donald John Trump, by such conduct, has demonstrated that he will remain a threat to national security, democracy, and the Constitution if allowed to remain in office, and has acted in a manner grossly incompatible with self-governance and the rule of law. Donald John Trump thus warrants impeachment and trial, removal from office, and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House of Representatives. Mr. President, that completes the exhibition of the article of impeachment against Donald John Trump, President of the United States. The managers request that the Senate take order for the trial. The managers now request leave to withdraw.
Thank you, Mr. Raskin. And the Senate will duly notify the House of Representatives when it is ready to proceed with the trial. Thank you.
And so now they file out of the chamber. And you know what's really weird, though? When everything went silent, did you hear that kind of in the background? It's almost like something taking place in the Death Star.
It was that type of sound.
And now they've stopped again, I guess.
Mr. President.
The Majority Leader.
I suggest the absence of a quorum.
Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Baldwin.
Quorum call. Well, that'll take a while. What do you think, Todd?
Well, I think we're all fortunate in the way to witness this live. This has never happened. This is the only second time, right? Articles of impeachment were issued to the Senate from the House.
Third.
And the way I look at it, this is what I tell my friends and neighbors who are Trump supporters. You wanted somebody who could do things differently and shake things up and you know, be different, this and that. Okay, this is what you get. Well, he has to be handled differently. He wanted to break the law, he has to be held accountable. Because remember, your party, the Republican Party, is the party of law and order, the party of personal responsibility.
Were. Used to be.
Used to be. Well, but they'll say they are. They'll still say they are. They'll still say that. That's what they believe. And if you really want to needle them, say, well, look, you got what you want. You got all these Republican judges, and you've got judges who are against abortion, and that was basically your goal anyway. You know, they knew that was their goal, at least the poor people. The rich people, they got what they want because they got a 20% pay raise. But
ain't shabby, that 20%.
Can you imagine? On top of cost of living and on top of your regular raise, you just go in one day, hey, Robin, you got a 20% pay raise. Why?
Because I'm awesome.
Well, damn, I'm coming to work tomorrow, too.
Yeah. Wait, I still have to show up?
Well,
screwed, man.
Oh, boy. So now we get to see what happens. Now we get, I don't know, man. Biden, you know, I think, I just like this whole combination. He's got good people around him. Kamala Harris is no joke, you know. And you know, she...
I hope they are not micromanaging and gatekeeping her, because I don't think she'd go along too well with being gatekept and micromanaged.
No, I don't either. I don't. I hope that they have a close relationship, she and the president, so that.
Well, remember, Biden and Obama were not buddies when they became running mates, but they became very close friends over time. So, you know, it takes time to build relationships, but I would in places where she could offer a 51st versus 50 votes, I hope she'll be able to do that. I mean, if there's a 50-50 vote on a motion to dismiss as the president of the Senate, does she not still get her 51st vote? Even if Leahy is presiding, does that mean Leahy doesn't get a vote?
See, we're in different territories.
This is uncharted waters.
I'm glad you brought that up, because once again, you read it. So how did Leahy? See, because you got a whole lot of folks out there who are saying this is illegitimate if Roberts didn't preside.
Well, that's just a lie, yeah. Because the Chief Justice, according to the Constitution, only presides when the president is being tried, not when a president or a former president, and the legal precedent is as clear as a bright blue sky. And that is, the United States only has one president at a time. That's why we get all that acting president language, for instance, in Section 4 of the 25th Amendment.
Wow.
And so, for instance, the president pro tem has presided over a number of impeachment proceedings in the past that did not involve the president. And so, you know, John Cornholio of Texas was pissing and moaning about how there's no precedent for this. This ain't never done before, never know how in America. And of course, John Cornholio is either a lying sack of dung, or he is dumber than, or he is dumber than the aforementioned sack of dung.
But aren't these people federalists and they believe in reading the Constitution as it's written?
He said on Twitter, of course, never happened in all of American history. So there isn't a Senate rule or constitutional provision authorizing this. How does a senator preside like a judge and serve as a juror, too? Well, that's where Norm Eisen comes in and says,
The president pro tem has often presided in impeachment trials, Claiborne, Hastings, Kent, Walter Nixon, etc., etc. Presidents are not above the law. They are subject to the same rules as any other impeachee. Okay, I made up the word impeachee, but the rest is true. And I'm thinking, I'm okay with impeachee, and I'm a practitioner of the art of word knowing.
Well, it communicates the point, doesn't it?
Yeah. But the bottom line, I mean, the impeachment trial of Supreme Court Justice Chase in, what, 1804? Was presided over by the Vice President of the United States in the form of Aaron Burr. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, I think, Todd, sometimes I think these goddamn Republicans just really aren't very interested in the jobs that they're supposedly there to do. I mean, no, really. I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be cute. Okay, I can be when I want to try, but never mind. Come on. If you became a senator of the United States, would you not bend the entirety of your will toward learning everything you could possibly learn about that body? Would you not want to be, by the time they carried you out of their feet first, would you not want to, would it not be your ambition to be the most knowledgeable person about what it means to be a senator?
Of course.
Bob Byrd gets a lot of shit because, you know, he made a terrible mistake when he was a young man that he spent the rest of his life repenting for. And he made more mistakes as a younger senator that he spent the rest of his career repenting for. But he did repent. But give the man credit. I mean, he went to law school nights, all right? He wasn't Josh Hawley with his Stanford degree getting the hail fellow well met, come on up to Yale. Bob Byrd studied law nights and was as passionate a devotee of our constitutional form of governance as any human being in recent memory. And that's the way it should be. If you are fortunate enough to be admitted into the world's most exclusive debating society, if you ever want to get anywhere, it is incumbent upon you to know what the damn rules are.
That's what I was, as soon as you said that, I was thinking, you know, at night, I'm going to make friends with the parliamentarian. I want to know how this shit works. Because watching shit on TV is one thing, but you got to know the rules. And that's why, I'm going to slow down here. Right, I'm not trying to be a sycophant, but yes, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with that. Otherwise, why are you there? Are you just taking money?
Well, you're there to get it. I mean, it's a nice salary. You get a nice retirement if you make it like two or three terms in the House, or maybe just one in the Senate. And then you're good. And if you're a Republican, you can leave office and make five times as much as you were making as a senator in some godforsaken wingnut welfare chop shop.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Barbara has a great point here. You really think Republicans care about the loss of five lives when they didn't give a shit about 20 first graders, dozens of unarmed black men, women, and children, even about 600 people shot in Las Vegas, or the dozens shot in the nation's schools, theaters, bars, etc.? If a building other than the Trade Center had been hit, they wouldn't care about that either. They certainly turned their backs on the first responders. And that's so damn true. And,
yep.
And generally speaking, when you send a Republican to Congress, you're giving a job to somebody who doesn't like the job. Because
it
is work.
They don't like government.
You know, your fellow Quaker Ben Franklin said that when one leaves government, it's a promotion because one then becomes the boss and not the servant.
Well,
kind of a long way from that, aren't we?
Yeah, we need to reassert our power as citizens and reestablish that they work for us. they work for us. You know, that has gotten lost. Well, not apparently. Yeah, obviously, that's lost with most of these people. You know, it's interesting. And, you know, and Stephen Georgia knows this because he listens to Washington Journal sometimes like I do. And, you know, I just, this, we got this hardcore group of people, man. It's just their way or the highway. This is why they don't understand why it was so wrong what happened at the Capitol. They justified, they're rationalizing. Well, in fact, if you ask, if you dig down, they'll say, "Well, what did you think?" But well, they had to do it because then what else could they do? What else can we do? We have to. People need to hear us. Oh, I'm glad I'm rambling. See, then somebody else has to talk to you. I know tonight. This is history. But you know, in deference to the people that we do not agree with, if we, once again, I'm still in shock. But obviously, these people are in pain. They have to be in pain.
What, the maggots?
Yeah, the people who stormed the Capitol, they are in pain.
Oh, no. No, Todd. I mean, you and I get along great, but this is not, you know, Star Trek and what does God need with a starship. This is not feel their pain. No. No, because I've felt a lot of pain, and I never once tried to burn down the Capitol.
Well, me too.
I was disgusted. I was disgusted when Reagan won twice. Disgusted when Pappy Bush won once. Jesus Christ, 2000? Please.
No, okay. This is the other shoe. That was the first shoe. That's to pull them in. Say,
we were told to get the fuck over it. Gore was called Sore Loser Man instead of Gore Lieberman. They had the Brooks Brothers riot that was run by some of the same people that I think we're going to find out were behind the goddamned attack on the Capitol.
Oh, did you see that? See, that's the other thing. Trump is being implicated with funding his people, funding the rioters, funding the treasonous, the murderers.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Funding murderers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and while I have you on the phone, why is it that the House did not bring an article for election meddling? I mean, that to me, that's clear. With Georgia on the phone, with the Attorney General?
Because this is a one-off. We don't want to argue about this count versus that count. This is a one-off. This is they. I mean, you heard it. They packed a wallop into it.
Oh, it was a wallop.
And it's going to be one count up or down.
So, okay. So speaking of the one wallop, and then I'm going to make some room, but you know, it's funny now. I think I actually Mika intimated this morning. Not intimated. She said it. And it's true. The more time in between was better. Now that we're seeing all this, even though it's, evidence that's around the edges. But to hear these people in their defense say, well, the president told me to do it. I was here because of him.
Yeah, say it loud and say it proud.
See, now I know they want a pardon and everything, but you see, that's some tricky water.
Well, he can't issue any more pardons. And the pardons that he may think he's got tucked in his pocket are invalid.
Well, it makes his case very weak when you have people directly involved saying, well, the president told me to do it, and I did it because I believed in him and what he was saying. And it's out there for everyone to see.
Yeah. But that's going to be problematic, Todd, because of, the attenuated nature or what they will argue. I presume they will, make an argument that, you know, just because some nut job says Donald Trump told him to do it doesn't mean Donald Trump told him to do it. That there's a degree of attenuation between the two things, you know, just like when Bill O'Reilly
went on TV and the radio every day and talked about Tiller the killer, Tiller the killer, Tiller the killer, Tiller the killer, until somebody blew Dr. Tiller's brains out. And then he said, well, I didn't have anything to do with that. I'm just an entertainer.
Right.
Or when Glenn Beck hollered about the Tides Foundation, the Tides Foundation, the Tides Foundation, until some halfway home teabagger asshole grabbed a gun and a fifth of liquor and headed for the Tides Foundation and finished the fifth of liquor before he found the Tides Foundation and wound up getting busted for DUI on the way to go and slaughter them. Or, what was his name, Atkinson? Atkinson shot up the Unitarian Universalist congregation in Knoxville, Tennessee, and left a note saying, and here's why I did it. Hannity, Limbaugh, O'Reilly, Bernie Goldberg.
But see, this is the problem with Trump's argument. If he has to go to court. Well, he is, yeah. Because we all saw him say, fight, 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 and I'm coming. I'll be right behind you.
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly never said that. So just follow through. See, you know, you can dissect this word salad. You can dissect these into segments and sure. Attribute them to physical actions, I think. You see what I'm saying?
Hey, can I shift gears on you real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so you know how we've talked about the time for introducing constitutional amendments is now?
Mm-hmm.
And then we say, well, you know, we need to introduce a constitutional amendment to get rid of the Electoral College. And to the best of my knowledge, that still hasn't happened. It still hasn't happened since, like, you know, December 2000, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, the other side gets it while we don't. I mean, this is going to be a heavy lift, probably a heavy lift, maybe not. But Agnes sent this along to me. Headline from today at the Hill: Rubio reintroduces amendment to block court packing. Now, we all know that it is the province of the Congress of the United States to determine the size of the Supreme Court. Even the Supreme Court can't really say anything about it. Beyond saying you can't kick somebody off except by impeaching them. And that's just constitutional law. But yeah, you know, we're not even a month into the new 117th Congress. And Marco Rubio has introduced a constitutional amendment that says the number of the Supreme Court shall be 9, and 9 shall be the number of the Supreme Court. Neither count thou 8, nor count thou 10, lest thou then proceed to 9 and stop on 9. And so that's a constitutional amendment that's been introduced in the Congress. Where is our Electoral College amendment? Where the hell is it? What the hell's wrong with us?
I don't
really. We can't. The 13th Amendment kind of put paid to that whole 3/5 of a human being thing, but it didn't do a damn thing about the Electoral College that was every bit as racist as the 3/5 clause was.
Well, let me ask you this:
where's our fucking amendment?
All right, but maybe this is why I don't know. But I'm asking a question. Okay, so we know what type of Supreme Court we're dealing with now, but. Have they addressed, in other words, the interstate compact, which is a workaround that liberated states are using to get around the Electoral College?
Well, not yet they aren't.
They're not using it yet?
You've got to have enough to make a difference.
Well, that's my question is that, see, what's going to happen is that that's going to end up going to the Supreme Court.
Precisely my point. The minute that it goes, the minute that it actually goes into effect, and I don't think it can right now, given the number of Republican legislatures versus Democratic ones. But the minute it goes into, if it should ever happen to go into effect, it will be on a fast track to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will probably strike it the fuck down. and then you're back to the constitutional amendment problem. So why not just let them both track parallel?
We need to get that settled now. We need to get, well, you know, there's so many other things going on, but we've had plenty of time to get this started. I get you. And because this has been a problem now for,
well, how many times does the country have to be fucked?
Right.
You know, I was talking about Rutherford B. Hayes, 1878. I think it was the election of 1876. And Rutherford B. Hayes did not win the popular vote, but he was handed the presidency by a Congress that was willing to play with people's lives in the form of ending Reconstruction.
That's where I was going. See,
yeah, I mean,
that whole,
every time the Electoral College has interfered in an election to change the result from the popular vote, bad things have happened in the aftermath.
Now, I'm going to tie all this together real quick. Most of these things we've been talking about, because you have been great in hammering in that one of the problems with our country right now is that Reconstruction was, you know, only lasted for 15 minutes, and like someone said earlier, it should last you for 40 years, you know, because we were in Japan for 40 years, and that was a major problem. Because then when that happened and we let this mythology of the South arise again and all this other nonsense, you know, instead of squashing it when we had a chance. And the same goes for this bullshit we're dealing with now with this past president and the administration. You know, sometimes we have to be unconventional because it's just you cannot. In other words, to me, we almost still don't have a country right now because we let these assholes get in our Capitol and put the Confederate flag up in the rotunda of the Capitol and rummage through lawmakers' belongings and looking for lawmakers and erecting a gallows. What the fuck else do you need to fucking see? Only one person got shot down? Stop playing around with me. I'm not that fucking stupid. This is bullshit. If we don't stop this shit now and say, look, this is not, we can dicker and disagree and argue all we want, but we're not having this shit. Because otherwise we have no country. Am I making sense?
You're making an abundance of it. Damn straight you are.
And we should have learned our lesson with Reconstruction. Look at Kansas. Look at where Maryland and Pennsylvania meet, around Hagerstown and Gettysburg and Harrisburg and Elkton. You know, there's a reason those places are still the way they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe we'll get together. Well, Robin, I tell you what, you're inspiring, man. You're a good person.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Todd. I appreciate that.
And sure. And I guess we'll talk soon. And, we got to get out of this hole, people, because Robin doesn't like talking about fundraising. But those numbers were a little bit scary.
Well, I can't believe we had $45 of challenges on the table. We're 22 minutes before the end of the program, and we couldn't, and not even $45 worth of challenges. But you know, maybe because it's Monday, I don't know.
No, it's me. Let me get off the phone.
No, it's not you. Not you by any stretch of the imagination. It's right. Not you, it's me.
No, it's you. No. Well, stay warm, and I don't know.
No, Agnes, it's not you either, dear. Agnes is in the next room going.
You had me cracking up. Listen, they had her people had to be. Oh, they had to be hellraisers. If the Quakers kick you out, you're fucking hellraiser.
Yes. Oh, and it wasn't just one. You know, it ran in the family. Apparently, there were a couple of them got kicked out of the meeting.
Oh, I love when I hear Papa.
Oh, she's laughing. Pop. She's laughing now. I just heard through my. That was you laughing, wasn't it, dear? Tell Todd I love him.
Love you too, dear.
Love you too, dear.
I like when I hear.
I'm like the public microphone at Occupy Wall Street now.
But yeah, she and Bill get into it. I mean, they had some interesting little conversations on the side.
Yeah, and by the way, no Bill today was my fault.
I was confused. I was like, wait a minute. I thought this.
No, that was my, and Bill has an appointment tomorrow, but he'll be back Wednesday. No, over the weekend, the keyboard died, and I knew I needed a new keyboard, and I just got scatterbrained and forgot to pick one up. And so this morning I was out, and Agnes called and said, no Bill today, no keyboard. I said, no, it's just funny. And she goes, no, it's dead. And yes, it is. So we got a new keyboard, which I am now in the process of probably ruining again. Because, you know, you'll just have that sometimes. But, no, that was me. So, Bill will be back on Wednesday.
So.
But no, she and he have a wonderful time together on air.
They play off of each other greatly. I mean, it's wonderful to hear. You know, it really is.
I agree.
And, so I'm looking forward to you telling some stories about the what you can still eat and the fajitas off from the Blackstone when you fired the Blackstone.
It's interesting. Oh, wait a minute. It's not you, Robin. It's the cat. It's not about the cat, Ralphs. That's become the eternal tagline of this program. It's not about the cat. Brother Deacon Asa was giving me grief saying that since the big coming out, my griddle production and smoker production has gone down precipitously. No, that's strictly the weather. It's just the weather.
People notice it.
I know. And you know, I was out yesterday in the yard and I was thinking, you know, this is not that bad a day. I could at least put some Kaneka on the damn griddle. Come on. But there was running and going to do.
Well, you know, everybody's happy now. Fauci's happy. The hillbillies are happy, I guess. Some of them. I'm talking about this new administration, man. We got to.
No, I think I think they're ahead of the curve. Are they doing everything? I mean, has every progressive person in America gotten a pony yet? No, they haven't. And that probably shows how ideologically impure they are. But in terms of being competent enough to get the day-to-day work of running an executive branch done, I don't think you can ask for a hell of a lot more. We're all just kind of sitting there gobsmacked watching Jen Psaki behave like a civilized human being who uses intelligent, civilized human being words and not,
as opposed to Sarah Sanders.
Oh, Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags, who has now officially announced that she is, by God, going to run for governor of Arkansas.
Man, I heard that woman give her speech on C-SPAN this morning, and I said, oh, God.
Make a freight train take a dirt road, honest to God.
I could just see her and Tom Cotton standing together. We going to raise up your standard of living, folks.
Yep, everybody going to get two out. Everybody going to have a two-hole privy now instead of just a one-holer.
Yeah, you know.
Sorry,
what?
Haley, don't hate me. You know what I'm talking. Yeah, Haley's an architect.
I know what you're talking about. And I just remembered tomorrow morning I have to get up and pull up my my soybean crop because I'm not getting my soybean check anymore now, I guess.
Damn socialism.
Yeah. Well, Robin, thank you for
taking my call.
Oh, thank you for making it. It was wonderful. It always is. I kid you not. I enjoy our conversations immensely. So, and hey, we got off the schneid a little bit. Wow. Will heard and Will acted, and so both challenges have now been met. Thank you, Will in Chicago, my dear friend. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Beautiful news.
Yep. So that gets us down to, geez. Now I gotta check again. Oh, God, now I have to put my foot in the bucket and sing.
You thought you were freed up from the mass for a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, so now we are down to $840.
Well.
No, $790, I think. I don't know. Hopefully we'll get there. Let's just put it that way.
Guess what? It'll be more tomorrow, not less, overnight.
Yeah, I hope. The overnight crew sometimes works miracles. Jude sends her best to you and to me. Jude's been busy, Todd. There's some no small amount of unrest in Tacoma. A cop drove a car through a bunch of skaters, and people are pissed. Luckily, nobody died. But Jude said, we're residing on the edge of a precipice, unfocused and force-filled energy. The boots and flowers were there last night and leaving soon to return. Someone from the community aligned at our last stand in Olympia as I felt a whisper of a new presence, peace, women standing. So take a moment for some thoughts for Jude and women standing in Tacoma as they bring that incredibly special energy to bear. Thank you, Jude. Thank you.
Jude is, we're so lucky to have Jude in this community. And first of all, this community is amazing, the everything about this community. And, you know, this is a real community because we all don't agree all the time, and that's fine. This is life. You know, you're not going to agree on everything all the time. But we agree that we want a better place to live, and we want to be better human beings. And apparently, a lot of people don't think that way. If you get what
I know, I do. I mean, just wow. Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Ellen, thank you so much, Ellen. Ellen just knocked things down precipitously to like 650 or something. Thank you,
Ellen.
Thank you, Ellen. That's tremendous.
I mean, come on, man. We you hear and listen, and we talk about things that you don't normally hear on. I mean, where else can you hear things like this?
Well, try to make it a little bit out of the ordinary.
We can talk about poop and then talk about physics in the same paragraph.
Oh, but yes, especially if the two are related.
That's funny. Oh man, so did you say skaters? Because I was the police drove through skater like thrashers, like people on skateboards and roller skates.
So here's the story: a large crowd of protesters gathered in downtown Tacoma on Sunday night in response to an incident in the same area where a police officer drove through a crowd of street racers. Two people were hospitalized for non-life-threatening injuries. And so people are pissed off. Some people smashed windows, burned to garbage cans, spray painted on buildings. Police ordered the group to disperse as they moved in and around the Pierce County Courthouse. Of course, in a group, in when you've got something like that going on, that could just as easily be the Proud Boys or the Boogaloo Boys, you know, the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters staff. And so, you know, people are pissed. Because extrajudicial attempts at assassination really ought not be countenanced by a locality.
Right.
And the best that the mayor of Tacoma, Victoria Woodard, could do was to issue a statement saying that
It's being taken very seriously. I, too, am deeply saddened by what we saw.
And so Cop Dude is now on paid administrative leave. In other words, Cop Dude gets paid vacation while they try to figure out if there's a problem with trying to mow down people in the road with your car.
Mm-hmm. See, all right, I just want to make an observation here, because I've had a number of encounters with law enforcement for some crazy reason. But, you know, I understand that everybody needs a union if you can get one. I mean, I'm not against the police having a union, but I'm against them, like protecting them from ill doings and bad doings and malfeasance at any cost, and that's what they're doing now. But it would seem to me a nice meeting place between citizens and police would be anytime there's a police shooting, when police have to discharge a weapon or use deadly force or run people over, they need to be drug tested. Because all I fucking hear is, well, the suspect, he did this, and he had that shit in his system, and God knows he was going crazy. Okay. Which may or may not be true. People react differently. You know, some people get high all the time. It doesn't mean faze them. That's their normal self. So that doesn't mean shit. But if you're in law enforcement and you're using steroids and God knows what else, you know, and you get upset, you know, things can happen. Especially when you look at the type of people that gravitate toward law enforcement on the street level. Because just as NPR noted today from a reporter, I mean, the reporter was basically just kind of saying things we already knew in terms of the data and empirical evidence. Most police go through their career without ever having to use their weapons. And most of these shootings, it's a bunch of people that just like to shoot people dead.
Unfortunately, yes.
So, you know, honestly,
and I'm really kind of, I'm really sick of the, I'm really sick and tired of the not all cops, not, you know, one bad apple. Well, one bad apple does spoil the barrel. That's how cider happens. That's how cider happens.
See, and one rotten potato. You ever walk in the pantry and you smell it? What the fuck is that smell? It's that one nasty motherfucking potato in the bag, getting all the other potatoes messed up. Get rid of that potato. We need police, but we don't need bad police. Bad police is worse than no police.
There we go.
If they take it upon themselves, they're judge, jury, and executioner on the street, then they need to be held to account like a judge, beyond reproach. Beyond reproach. I want to see your piss. As a matter of fact, I want a hair sample.
There we go.
Okay, rambling. Thank
no,
you.
You're not rambling. You're not rambling at all. Todd, you have yourself a good night, my friend.
You too, my friend.
Going to do my best. Take care. Bye.
All right.
Our buddy Todd, calling from South Carolina, Stan, bringing the A game. It's much appreciated. Well, why not? Let's, since it's that time of year, by all means, let's... let's check in on the Republican hate party. I mean, they really are a hate party, but no, they're having a hate party. And so here it is. Let's see. Taliban, Indiana, Alabama, Mississippi, North Dakota, Utah. Hey, it's Montana's turn. And before I go there, just a little something. Because it's always funny to see somebody skewering Matt Gaetz. Okay, it's terribly funny because it's not exactly a heavy lift. So recently, Matt Gaetz participated in an HBO documentary, and in the HBO documentary, he said he does his own makeup before he goes on cable TV. I've been on cable TV a few times. MSNBC, and I don't remember spending a whole lot of time in the makeup chair. You know, I just wanted to make sure my hair wasn't standing up or anything, but You know, maybe a little powder or something, but yeah. And no, back then I wasn't I was not saying, come on, let's please the false eyelashes, just please. No. So he admits he does his own makeup before cable TV appearances, and he's at war with Liz Cheney, who is the daughter of one of the meanest, rottenest, most vile, hateful human beings that has ever called themselves an American. You know, Richard B. Dick Cheney before he dicks you. And so they're going at each other because Matt Gaetz is going to Wyoming. And he's going to and on behalf of his God Emperor, he is going to campaign against Liz Cheney because she wasn't sufficiently ideologically pure in her worshipfulness toward Nitwit Nero. And so what do we get? I mean, like I said, because it's always funny when somebody's making fun of Matt Gaetz or, you know, Jim Shorts Jordan or something like that. By the way, who I would not be surprised if he's already set up his exploratory committee, because Rob Portman of Ohio announced today that, yeah, he's not going to run for re-election. He's had enough. So expect probably Jim Shorts Jordan to maybe be the Republican nominee for senator from Ohio. I don't know who would run as a Democrat. I don't know that much about the Democratic side of Ohio politics, because frankly, you never hear about it except for Sherrod Brown, and he's already got one Senate seat. And so, that's something to, because, you know, Jim Shorts Jordan. Ugh. But nonetheless, in digging at Matt Gaetz, a spokesman for Liz Cheney, when he heard this spokesperson, when he heard that Matt Gaetz was coming to Montana, Cheney's office said, "Representative Gaetz can leave his beauty bag at home. In Wyoming, the men don't wear makeup." Oh, little Cheney. Little Liz Cheney spokes creep. Goodness me. There are probably at least 1% of the population of Montana that's just trans as fuck. And yeah, some of them wear makeup. Or maybe you, Cheney spokes creep, when the door is shut and the closet door is nice and snug. Yeah. In Wyoming, the men don't... I didn't Montana. I'm sorry. In Wyoming, the men don't wear makeup. And the sheep are fucking scared. Yeah. So that's Wyoming. This is Montana. Montana has some brand new legislation out. Yay, Montana. Yeah, you fucking assholes. There is a bill filed. It is in one house of the Montana State Legislature. And it will make it a criminal violation to provide health care to trans kids. Because health care to trans kids includes the aforementioned puberty blockers. The puberty blockers are the new hate and trans kids thing. Look, these miserable assholes are going to raise a fortune on our trans backs. I think somebody with the wherewithal to do it needs to sue the bastards and say, listen, if you're going to fundraise on our backs, you better, by God, cough up a percentage, you assholes. Because if we're not here, how do you get money out of your ignorant fucking followers? So on the one hand, they want to criminalize health care for trans kids. And they also introduced another bill to make sure that trans people can't compete in sports. In other words, they're saying, well, they're trying to turn Montana, Alabama, Indiana, North Dakota, Utah, Mississippi, into trans sundown states. Trans person, don't let the sun set on you here.
And Representative Getz can leave his beauty bag at home. In Wyoming, the men don't wear makeup. Ooh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. I dare say that Richard B. Big-time Dick Cheney before he dicks you has probably worn no small amount of it, considering the fact that he spent several years in the Bush administration without a pulse. That might even have taken a little bit of mortician's wax. But let's not get lost in the details, shall we? So that's it. Thank you very, very kindly for joining in this evening. I told you it was going to be a busy morning Monday. No, I didn't stutter. As far as that one bad apple business is concerned, Brother Deacon Asa just said, as the prophet Chris Rock says, some jobs have no room for bad apples. American Airlines can't come out and say, you know, most of our pilots like to land. Only a couple of them want a corkscrew in. One bad pilot doesn't ruin the airline. You get the idea. No, it's so true, Brother Deacon. So thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to each and every one of you, all of our subscribers, PayPal and Patreon. Thank you so much. We always need new subscribers. And thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so very much. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room earlier. Thank you to Brother Bishop Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Hey, remember, Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, right there at headon.live. It's the best place to listen to the first run of Malloy. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please be safe. Please stay as safe as you possibly can. I want us all to come out the other end of this thing alive and hale and happy and healthy. You have to be out and about. For God's sakes, get the best mask you can and wear it properly. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer liberally. Maintain your social distance. Remember, 15 feet. 15 feet between people who are masked. And it'll probably go up from there because of the virulence of the new strains. And as far as being around somebody that doesn't have a mask on, Jesus, if you were here and they were on Mars, that's still too close. And of course, if somebody comes towards you and says, men don't wear makeup in Wyoming, avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later, y'all.